Said it, or is it replacing, kind of linking the two people together, that it was the one who listens as if he is the one?
Right. Okay, good. So first of all, let's ask ourselves if Shomea Keone is Doraisa. Is Shomea Keone Doraisa? What? Right. Similarly, Gemara and Sukkah, right? Gemara and Sukkah. I have it in front of me. That's why I get to cheat. So the Gemara and Sukkah makes it pretty clear that the concept of Shomea Keone is at the very least from the Navi, but more than likely min haTorah. And the way we use it, well, let's put it this way: the way it's applied nowadays, would we assume that it is Doraisa? What do we use Shomea Keone for?
Kedusha.
What do you mean by that? So we'll try to hash that out a little bit more clearly. But we use it for Kiddush, right? So Kiddush, Doraisa. Right? So Kiddush is Doraisa. So if Shomea Keone was not Doraisa, so it doesn't blow everything out of the water. Like, you could still, you know, figure out a way to fetch it in, but it sounds like if we're going to use it to be Yotzi and be Motzi others in Mitzvahs Doraisa, so Shomea Keone is probably Min HaTorah. We're using it in some way, right? What's the shtickiest Shomea Keone that the modern Orthodox community uses? Right? Can you think of I specifically said the modern Orthodox community, because I don't know if you'll find this outside of YU type circles. Right. Well, what's one thing you'll pretty much only find in YU type circles if you've traveled the world? Now other people are starting to pick it up. It makes shul much quicker on laning days. No, that's not. It's fakir. You'll see less of that in YU than other places. But I was thinking of Rav Mordechai Willig's innovation to the Mishaberach. Mishaberach L'Cholim, I believe. Rav Willig invented that, no? I think so. I think Rav David Willig told me that, right, Mordechai Willig invented it. I asked him what, years and years ago, when I first started, it was 2001, I asked him what was the pshat in it, and he's like, oh, my brother's invention. He said that, you ever wonder what that is? Please insert the name at the proper time. What do you think that is? Right? So that's an example of a discussion that we're not going to have right now, but it's a worthy discussion of being Yotze Shomea Keone on half of a sentence or half of a bracha or something to that effect, right? The discussion that we tend to be lenient and we allow such a thing. We allow Shomea Keone, not even if it's an entire kiddush or an entire bracha, but even on part of it. So what do you have? You have the gabbai or the shliach tzibur. He's going to say rove of the mishaberach, and you're going to then say a small segment of the mishaberach. So your yotze hearing meaning in general. Well, what are we doing when we're saying the mishaberach? It's an interesting question. I asked. One time, somebody, it wasn't a fair thing to pose to him because it wasn't his fault, but he didn't start it. But I asked him out of curiosity, I said, why does everyone stand up for the Mishaberach for Tzahal and Tefillah L'Shlama Medina? Is it just to pledge allegiance? Is it? No, I'm not saying it as a joke. Like, is there a halachic reason to Dafka to stand while that's going on? Meaning, when you hear other Mishaberachs, so everyone sits. But for the Mishaberach, for Medinas Yisrael and Israeli army, we stand. So I don't necessarily claim to know the answer, but perhaps because the way all Mishaberachs work, what are we really doing over here? We're all just sitting around while the Gabbai davens Tashem? No, Pashtus is that the Gabbai is saying the Mishaberach on behalf of the entire Tzibur. Tzibur is answering Amen, and it's Ki'ilu. We all said the Mishaberach, or at least we were Yotze, the Mishaberach, via Shomea Keone. So perhaps the pshat is just that when the Mishaberach is being recited by someone who's standing, maybe it's best for everybody to do the same as the Gabbai is doing. We should all stand, but If you go like that, so that follows that if we want to be Yotze, you know, if we want to make Mishaberichs for people who get an Aliyah or people who are Mishaberich L'cholim or whatever, we should stand for that too. Now, it's not so pashut. Even if one person is standing, you don't necessarily have to also stand if you want to be Yotze. Definitely, if someone was standing and you were sitting and you listened to every word and you answered Amen, you're still Yotze. But it's not so clear that it's better. It's not so clear that it's necessary. But definitely, when it comes to sitting, it's best if one person is being motzi people in something which requires a kavias. Like if somebody's making hamotzi for you, or something like that. Then the Gemara is very clear that everybody should be seated. The Gemara even goes so far as to say everybody should be leaning at the table. But we don't. The Tosfos points out over there we don't lean anymore except at the Pesach Seder. So we're yotze. Our yeshiva is like their haseba. So we're yotze with that. But so that is more of a reason if the person is making the kiddush or the Abdullah or whatever it is sitting, so we should definitely sit. But if the person is standing, so it's not 100% obvious that you have to stand, but it seems that it's good to do whatever the person is being motzi you is doing. So perhaps that's the reason why they stand for these types of things. Okay, so just bringing it back, so you have a lot of different instances where we apply Shomei Kaona. One other case where we do a half and half Shomei Kaona is sometimes you go to a camp or you go with this a few years ago in camp. There was used to be a Beis Medrash program that I was, you used to learn with the guys. So the guys, we were always upset about something. You know, it's the derech of Bnei Yeshiva is that they're always broigas about something. So they got upset because the guy who was making kiddush in the dining room. He was doing it classic, you know, the classic nusach, and part of the, you know, the old school nusach involves some singing along of the crowd, right? Kivonu v'charta. So like, we're not hearing kiddush, we're not being yotze, it's yarei bal yav or whatever. A lot of things that were going wrong. They're very upset. I said, no. What you should do is you should, instead of getting upset, you should also sing along. So that way, you could be your yotze the rest of kiddush with Shomei Kelana, and that which you don't hear from the chazan is making the kiddush, so you are saying on your own. So that way you're doing Shomei Kelana half and half, right? Whenever he talks about this topic, Rav Shechter likes to tell a joke from the Satmar Rebbe that they said that when in Europe when they used to be Masada Kiddushin, so the Masada Kiddushin would do everything. He would make the Birkas Eirusin, he would make sure that everything went smoothly under the chuppah, and then he would say all seven of the brachos, and that would be the whole chuppah. And then when he got to America, so people became much more worthy of kavod, so he had to be mechabed many more people at every simcha, so they would call up different people, each one to make the, you know, the sheva brachos. So the Satmar Rav apparently joked that there's a day that's going to come where they're going to be mechabed one rabbi to say bu and one rabbi to say rich. So that's a good question. Like even if you hold, you can do half a bracha shomei kelon, and probably you can't do half a word. So that's already taking a little too far. Okay, so I wanted to present the following question that happened to me more than once in my life. It happened to me at this motzei Shabbos of Tisha B'Av also, that I missed the Bar Mireya Eish because I was in the middle of Davening Maariv. So sometimes you don't know how to time your Shmona Esrei with the shul that you're in. So I totally miscalculated, and I thought for sure I was going to make it, and then I thought they were going to wait for the women to come in to say Bar Mireya. I didn't wait for anything, nothing. Like half the women missed it, I missed it. It wasn't good. So are you allowed, or let's say you're in a situation where there's going to be a Havdalah in shul, and you want to be yotze with that Havdalah, so are you, and you're still in the middle of Davening Maariv. So, there, you guys are coming right in time for the question. So the question is, no, don't be sorry. The question is, you're in the middle of Davening, one second. Okay, no problem. So, anyways, let me just present the question again one more time. So, one second, sorry. Yeah, So the shaila is, let's say you're davening Maariv on Motzai Shabbos, and your Shmon Esrei went too far, and the rest of the tzibur is finishing up, and now they're gonna make Avdallah. So what should you do? Should you stand there during Shmon Esrei, and you know it's always good to get to the end of a bracha, and you know find a nice stopping point. So should you wait till you get to the end of a bracha, and then listen to the Havdalah, having in mind to be Yotzei, or should you not? Should you just keep going, and you're just gonna have to figure something out later? So that's I think a very good question, and it's you know, here and there it comes up in life. There's a mitzvah going on, and you want to know whether you should stop in the middle of davening to be yotzei the mitzvah. So for starters, right? So you guys already mentioned the standard chakira in Shomea Keone, right? So we have a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos as to how to conduct oneself in a regular case of Shmona Esrei and Chazar Sashatz. Right, so what does Rashi say? Anybody remember, or you remember offhand? You don't have to. Now, so Rashi says, no problem. He quotes very interestingly. He quotes the Baal Halachos Gedolos, Rabbi Yehudoi Gon. Right, so one of the Gaonim was named Rabbi Yehudoi Gon, and there's also a Sefer from the time of the Gaonim called the Sefer Halachos Gedolos. It was written by the Baal Halachos Gedolos, or the Bahag for short. And so it seems, at least from that Rashi, that he's assuming that Rabbi Yehudoi Gon is the Bahag. That is not universally accepted as an assumption, but Rashi said what he said. So he quotes from the Bahag that no problem. So if they're up to Kedusha, if they're up to Modim, so you should stop, listen in, and hear the Kedusha as it's being said by the Shliach Tzibur and the Tzibur. In fact, many have this practice that technically, in the old school style of Kedusha, really the Tzibur is supposed to say one thing, and the Chazan is supposed to say something else. So the Tzibur, so the only the Shliach Tzibur is supposed to say Nekadesh, or Naritzucha, or whatever, however you say it, and everyone else, because that's the invitation that you're inviting everybody else to join in. It's actually a little, it's a little strange that the Tzibur took on the practice to say it. If you look in actually the Mishnah Berurah, both the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, two of the most, probably the two most influential of the poskim of the last generation in Europe, they both said it's preferable only for the Shliach Tzibur to say Nekadesh and everybody else to listen, and then start from Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So really that's the, but Lamaisa, the accepted practice is that everybody says it. So, and then we say Kadosh, Kadosh, and then the Shliach Tzibur says Lumasam Baruch Hamer. That's like the introduction to the next part. And then, so Rav Moshe came up with an idea saying that, well, technically, everybody's supposed to say something different. So the Shliach Tzibur is supposed to say Nekadesh, and everybody says Kadosh Kadosh, and then he's supposed to say Lamasam, then Baruch Kivot, etc., and you go back and forth. But it's probably Kedai for the Shliach Tzibur to say all the parts, because you're going to have people who are still in the middle of Shmon Esrei, and they're going to want to be Yotzei the whole Kedusha. So they can't be Yotzei, they're part of the Kedusha if they don't hear it. And when the Tzibur says it, sometimes it's a little bit of a balagan. So sometimes you have booming Tzibur and everybody says the words in unison, and it's like when you're at a ball game and they chant something, it sounds, it's like one unified voice. You know, okay, sometimes they're that organized in shul. Most of the time they're not that organized, at least in Ashkenazi shuls. Sometimes they go to Sephardi shul, they're very they do everything very carefully in unison, and it's clearer. But Ashkenazi shul is not usually so clear. So you have the Shliach Tzibur is going to say Kadosh 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 and Lumasam Baruch Hamer. So that way the guy who's davening Shmon Esrei can hear the Shliach Tzibur say the entire Shmon Esrei, and he's Yotzei the whole thing with Shomea Keone from the Shliach Tzibur. So that's Rav Moshe's recommendation.
Sometimes you hear like a Chazan say Kadosh, like kind of like with the Tzibur. So should you not do that with the Tzibur?
So I can't say you shouldn't do it. Rav Moshe's suggestion is, well, you know, it's advisable. It's you know the the standard way to say Kedusha would have it being that way, meaning that the Shlich Tzibur says everything together with the Tzibur, and then he says out loud, Lumasam Baruch Yameiru. So you can't really fault the Shlich Tzibur for doing the right thing, but it happens to be Rav Moshe's suggestion is a very valid point, that there could be people in the shul who want to hear the Kadosh Kadosh, and they're not going to be successful at hearing it from the Tzibur, so they should hear it from the Shlich Tzibur. Yeah. So what do you mean by that?
So, like, if you're listening to Kedusha and you're diving Kranz, you're supposed to go up your feet, but more than you're supposed to bow.
Right.
So, Adela, do you have to do any actions? You should
inhale when they say, Bar Minei V'Sam? I don't know. So. Right. You don't want to be Polish from the Tzibur in general, that if everybody's thanking Hashem, you should at least participate. It's like more along the lines of Shema. You know, if you're sitting in a room and they start to say Shema, you also say Shema. At least the first pasuk, you should say it along with them. Yeah.
Is it true you're supposed to go up if you're in the middle of Shema Esrei?
I think so, no? Is that true? I believe so.
In Elokein Torah, what are you supposed to say?
Elokein Tzor, so if you've already said Yu L'Ratzon, so you can say Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kavod.
Not Hashem Yimach.
No, the Iker of Kaddish, that's Mitzad Hadin, are those two parts. And if it's Shabbos, then Shema Yisrael also. But if it's just the others are, we answer Mitam Minhag. In general, it's good to be machalik between the things we answer Meikar Hadin and those things we answer Mitzad Minhag. So for example, in Kaddish, the real chiyuv to answer Mitzad Hadin is just Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba and Da'amiram Bi'alamav Imru Amen. Those are the Iker Amens that we answer. The others, Brichu and the first Amen, those are Mitam Minhag. So if you're in a place where you're not allowed to be Mafsik, you shouldn't be Mafsik for those Amens, but you should be, you know, you should be Mafsik for the Amens that you're Chayav Mikar Adin. So I think Rav Shechter likes to say over that Rav Soloveitchik was Makbid even after Marv, after Birchus Kriyashma of Marv. So because really, if you hold that smichas, meaning they're two, there's a strange conversion of certain shitos over the years that they sort of got jumbled up together. So, for example, in Eretz Yisrael, people follow the opinion of the Ramban, which is known as the shita of the Vilna Gaon, but the Vilna Gaon just said you should pass like the Ramban. But the shita of the Ramban that you shouldn't say Baruch Hashem la'olam amen v'amen. But then a lot of those same shuls, they'll say v'shamru on Friday night, which has less of a source for why you would be mafsik in between geula and tefillah at that time. But it's questionable, what would the Ramban say about that chatzi kaddish? Would he want you to have a kaddish before you say Shmon Esrei at Maariv, or would you just say, no, Baruch Adash Shomer Amo Yisrael Lo'ad? Shmon Esrei, just like Baruch Atah Hashem Gal Yisrael during the morning of Shmon Esrei. So it's not so clear whether that Kaddish is part of the institution of Baruch Hashem Olam Amen V'Amen, or if it would have stood independently regardless. So Rav Soloveitchik was Makbid, during that Kaddish he would only answer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba and Amiram Bi'Alamav Imru Amen, because, okay, like saying a Kaddish, Meikar Adin, you got to answer. You can't not, but the parts that you only answer Mitam Minhag. So since he had the practice of not saying Baruch Hashem Olam Amen Amen, so he wouldn't answer those other parts of the Kaddish during that time. So also it's always good to know which things are Me'ikar Adin versus which things are extra. Okay, so in terms of the Machlokas Rashi's, we have Rashi Shita, which as we know is the standard practice, which is that you listen quietly and you answer. Tosfos Shita is, he says, he quotes the whole thing from, and he quotes the Baal Lachos Gedolos, etc. And then he says, wait a second. He says, how can you listen to Kedusha in the middle of Shmon Esrei? The whole thing is Shomea Keone. Right? So it's Ke'ilu what? You're talking out in the middle of Shmon Esrei over there. So how can that be? You can't all of a sudden start speaking words in the middle of Shmon Esrei. You're not speaking words. You're not, but you are. That's the kunz of Shomea Keone, right? So So that's why Rav Yosef Engel says it like that, and many of the analysts of the Gedolei Achronim, when they learn this machlokas, Rashi tells them to say it's a pashut machlokas. According to Rashi, what are you really doing when you're listening to something? You're being yotzei, but the other person is doing all the talking. You're just being yotzei the mitzvah from them, right? According to Tosfos. So you're actually saying it. So how seriously do we take that kit? Right? There's one of my rabbis, whenever he talks about something kit something, he's always like, every single one of the kit, you have to figure out how kit is it. You know, how kavush kim avushol. So how kim avushol? Maliach kiroteach. Those are your there ones. You're not holding there just yet, but then you have the shomea ke'oneh. So Rashi says that's ke'oneh. It's like you're answering, but it's not. You're not answering. And Tos is like, no, it's a soft kick. It's mamash shomea is the oneh. He's really the guy who's answering, and therefore you have to be very careful not to listen to be yotzei with the Shemoneh Esrei, right? So that's if you hold like Tosfos, you could be that annoying person who you go to hear the Megillah, right? And come back from Purim and you say like, oh, did you hear the Megillah? No, I did not. Well, why not? It's such a big mitzvah. You have to hear the Megillah. It says I read the Megillah. Ooh, you read the Megillah? Very nice. I didn't even know you knew how to. I don't know how to learn it. Right, so you can carry on that conversation until the other person grows tired of you. Point is that it's mamish like you read the Megillah. You got up there and you read it. You didn't. You just listened. So, yeah, but according to Tosos, it seems that you read it. So basically, it would seem that the Havdalah Shaila is the same Shaila. Should you, according to Rashi, you would stop and you would listen to Havdalah. And you'd be yotzei the mitzvah of Havdalah, just like you're yotzei saying Kedusha in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, because it's not like you're speaking out, but you can get the benefits of listening to mitzvos that are going on around you, and you can be yotzei with that. Whereas, according to Tosfos, absolutely not. You can't just be yotzei other things in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, because it's like you're talking out. So if that were our only concern, so we would say, okay, that's the basic gist of things. But perhaps there are other concerns as well. Yeah?
According to Tosfos, would you be able to be Yosei Shai Mecha if I just listened to the reading of the Torah?
Maybe. They're definitely...
For one, right.
I would think so. When you're hearing something read mitoch haksav, that's not a classic example of Shomea Keoneh. It might be a little different under those circumstances, but perhaps still, that's.
According to Rashi, could you say Amen in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei?
No, you wouldn't answer anything. You don't say Amen.
Yotzei even without an Amen?
You Yotzei without an Amen. Amen is better, right? What is that all about? That's beyond the scope of today's discussion. Amen is better. I'll read you the Lashon of the Rambam, which, Before I read you the Rambam, I'll give you a little bit of an introduction to what could come from taking Tosfos too far, but it's not really true. And the Rambam's sort of shows you that it's not true, even though intuitively you know it's not true. But for example, let's say I'm stuck and I don't know how to bench. I don't have a bencher, and there's a kid with me. He's a bright boy, and he knows how to bench very nicely. He's not chayiv in mitzvahs. I am chayiv in mitzvahs. Right? So could he bench and I'll just listen to him and say amen at the end? And then it'll be like I said it myself. Right? According to Tosfos, I should be good to go, no? Because if like I said it, it's not like he said it. According to Rashi, I'm just listening and being yotzei with him. So all right, if he's not chayiv, because he's not a bar mitzvah boy, I can't be yotzei with him. But according to Tosfos, it's like I said it. So if it's like I said it, I should be able to be yotzei, no? So that would be like it's a strange, and it's not a true nafkamina, but that would seem to be the most important difference between Rashi and Tosfos over there. Is it mamish like I said it? So it's like I said it that I'm being mafsik in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, but it's not like I said it because no one in his right mind thinks you could be. Actually, the Gemara says black on white, it doesn't work. There's a Gemara in Brachos that says, a katan a katan can be motzi a gadol in a certain shticky situation where the katan ate a full meal. He is chayev on a full derabbanan level, and the father of the katan only ate a kezias, so he's only chayev midrabbanan because he ate a smaller amount. So then the katan's chayev midrabbanan, the father's chayev midrabbanan, and the katan can bench for the father. But I have a better suggestion. If you hold like Tosfos, just in any scenario, the katan should be able to bench on behalf of the father, and the father should be able to just answer amen and biyotze shemeya keone, and then he's good to go because it's like he said the benching. So intuitively, we know it's not true, and the Gemara says it's not true without spelling it out. But the Gemara could have, there was a good opportunity for the Gemara to say that it is true. But so why isn't it true? Why isn't it true?
Says it only considers if you said it if you're chayiv on the same level.
Well, he doesn't spell that out either. But read you the lashon of the Rambam, so we know the Rambam wouldn't hold of it either. The Rambam says, "Kol shomea bracha min abrachas mitchilasa vad sofa miniskavin latzeis ba idei chovaso yatsa." So if you hear a bracha beginning till end, and you had kavanah to be yotze, you are yotze. V'afal pi shelo ana amen, even though you didn't say amen. V'chol ha'oneh amen achra mavarech harize kim mavarech. Right? So if you answer amen to a bracha, then it's mamish like you said it. Right? So that sounds like it, at the very least, when you're answering amen, that puts the Rambam in Tosfos' camp. Right?
Or why would you say amen if you're Tosfos when you're saying you'll say amen to your own bracha?
Good point. But maybe the amen helps it be... You know what? I'm going to leave it. I thought I was going to say something, but now I realize the question is better. The question is better. It's you have to make a dakas dika chilek between the two cases, but I don't think I could formulate it intelligently al regalachas. I'd have to think of a good way to formulate it.
Seems like it also doesn't matter if the person saying the bracha is das to have you in, doesn't have to have you in mind for you to be yotze.
Right. So there are other places where the Rambam fills in that gap. But for now, in the same sentence, the Rambam then says, "V'hu sheyia mavarech chayev bo sabracha." Right? But the mavarech has to be chayev in that bracha. So I can't make a shahakol if I'm not planning on drinking, and you then drink. Right? You have to be chayev in the same bracha. And then he says, "Hayah mavarech chayev midivrei sofer va'ona chayev min haTorah lo yatzi dechovaso." Right, and it says, and you have to either answer word for word, or you have to say it word for word with him, or you have to hear it from someone who's chayav in a Torah. So that's our exact case, and the Rambam says it doesn't work. So it's clear that shomea keoneh, even though, as you said, so what's the point of amen? Amen somehow makes it even better. What the better is, not for now, but lamaisa, it makes it even more like you said it. But even though the amen makes it like you said it, everybody would agree that the person who's doing it for you has to be chayev in the mitzvah too. It can't be that like he just throws it out there. And then the simple understanding is just that you in order to make it like you said something, the thing that is like you said has to be a chetza of the bracha. It has to be a chetz of a mitzvah. It has to be a real thing. It can't just be randomness and nonsensical words that then I'm going to make it like I said that. Like, it has to first have the koach that's imbued in it by someone who's actually chayiv in order to then transfer to me and make it like I said it. Because I can't just create something yesh me'ayin from someone who wasn't chayiv in the first place. So that's the pashut reason why you couldn't do that even according to Tosfos. Okay, but just moving it back to our question, so how would this work? You have, on one hand, we paskin, and the Shulchan Aruch is clear, and we know from everyday life, we paskin like Rashi. So it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch does paskin like Rashi. It's in Simon Kuf Dalet Siv Zayin. Eino posek lo lekadish v'lo lekedusha elo yishtok v'yichavein l'masha omer shleich tzibur. V'yehei ka'onim. Right, so we paskin like Rashi against Tosfos. Furthermore, it's not so pashut that is the only way to learn Tosfos. Rav Soloveitchik had what I thought was a simpler way to learn Tosfos. I saw it in the Rishimos on Maseches Sukkah, and I thought it was very helpful in understanding this machlokas. Rav Soloveitchik didn't say that. Tosos never actually used the words, "It's like you said it." He just said that if you're going to do this, you're being mafsik in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. It's very strange that we all automatically jump to the idea that it's like you said it, and it's like you're talking in the middle. You're not talking in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right? But on the other hand, what are you doing in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei? You're being yotzei mitzvos, other mitzvos, in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, right? I'll give you the extreme mashal that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach uses, which is doesn't exactly apply to this, but it's a good starting point. Rav Shlomo Zalman was not a big fan, although I have benefited from this many, many times myself, of the people saying Yalla Biyavo out loud. Once, I have to say that I'm a very big fan of when other people do it, because it's very helpful. But, the only thing is I sometimes still forget, but it's very helpful. But he said, who in their right mind would be Omid Lefnei HaMelech and then would figure out a way to scream out a message at somebody else because it fit into to what they were trying to say to the Melech also? So they would say oh, Mr. Almighty King, I just remembered that later I have to go to the cleaners. And it's not, you don't all of a sudden shout errands at other people because it happens to be that you can figure out a way to stick it into your conversation with the Melech also. He says it's a simon that the tefillah is not what it should be, because the number one criteria for tefillah, according to the Rambam at least, is that you have to envision yourself that you're omed lifnei hamelech. So if you were omed lifnei hamelech, you wouldn't do something like that. So even though, can I tell you exactly what's wrong with it? I can't tell you exactly what's wrong with it, but it seems to contradict the fundamental of tefillah that you're omed lifnei hamelech, because it probably is not the activity of somebody that somebody would do, right? So based on a similar idea is that you don't, when you're standing in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you don't also try to chop other mitzvos. You don't try to do other, check more chores off your to-do list, right? So that's it's a little bit strange. We wouldn't automatically think that while I'm in the middle of Davening Shemoneh Esrei, so I want to chop as many mitzvos as possible. And sort of, so Sarah Soloveitchik says that's Tosfos' shita. Not that it's like you're speaking in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, but you're not supposed to be checking things off the list in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei while you're, in davening to Hashem. Davening to Hashem is davening to Hashem. Kedusha is kedusha. Kaddish is kaddish. Okay, so you can't. You got to stop and wait because you can't. But you're not being yotzei. Not being yotzei the kedusha, you don't say kedusha in the middle of davening. That's not appropriate. So you could say certainly in this case, Tosfos would be even more stark to do a totally unrelated mitzvah of havdalah, borei me'ra'esh in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. That's even it's almost worse, because at least the kedusha you could argue not. It's part of the whole davening process, and it's not really that disrespectful and whatever. So if you learn like that, then it's not 100% clear that even Rashi would allow it, right? So that's a new way to look at it, which creates a bigger problem for the Havdalah people, because now maybe Rashi wouldn't necessarily be on board. Maybe he'd only be on board for Kedusha, which it fits. It has a shaychus. It's normal. Havdalah is something out of left field that really has nothing to do with anything. So all of a sudden you're going to throw in a superfluous Havdalah to the Shemoneh Esrei. It's a little, and you're going to be yotzi that mitzvah smack in the middle of davening. It's a little bit strange. So Tosfos for sure wouldn't like it, but maybe even Rashi wouldn't like it. Ratzvi Pesach Frank in the Tshuvas Har Tzvi, he suggests another reason why maybe even Rashi wouldn't like it, or maybe because he said even if Rashi would allow it, maybe we shouldn't allow it. He says because if you look in Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, Rabbeinu Yonah basically ends off his discussion with a lashon of something which is tully ba'amude olam. He says something, this machlokes, Rashi Tosfos, it's tully in these great pillars. And it says, "Ein lanu koach lehachria b'neim, u'da'avid kemar avid, u'da'avid kemar avid, u'blovad shi'chav en libo l'shamayim." He says, I can't tell you how to paskin this. It's this is too big for my, you know, this is above my pay grade. And then whichever way, do like Rashi, do like Tosfos, you should have in mind L'shem Shemayim. So that's how he leaves it. So Rav Zvi Pesach Frank sort of says, maybe that's really how the Shulchan Aruch is paskining. He's paskining, I don't know. Okay, so you're stuck, so do like Rashi. Because what choice do you have? You can't miss Kiddush all the time. So that's, he says, but Havdalah? Mechatesi, that Havdalah has to come in the middle of Shemana Esrei. So he says, you'll make Havdalah afterwards, no big deal. So he's not saying it from the perspective that I was saying it inside of Soloveitchik's analysis. He's saying it from the classic analysis, but maybe still it's not a good idea because you have the opportunity to make Havdalah later. As opposed to Kedusha, this is the minyan you're at. This is the time for Kedusha. So it makes sense. All right, so we'll be Mekel like Rashi against Tosos, even though we haven't fully decided Rashi is right, Tosos is wrong. That's the end of the story. Really, we're like Rabbeinu Yonah. We don't know what to do. But we'll be knowing like Rashi, so you shouldn't miss Kedusha all the time. But to automatically then start to expand upon that and to throw in other things, he's not comfortable with that. And therefore he suggests that that you shouldn't. You should try to hear Havdalah later. The difference between the two ways to understand it is that maybe, according to Rav Zvi Pesach Frank, if you're stuck and it's the Tisha B'Av night and you're getting one Borei Me'oreish for the night and nobody else is going to, and then they're going to start leaning Eicha and then you're stuck. So maybe then you could, Rav Soloveitchik's way, I don't know that you'd be good to go either way, but Rav Zvi Pesach Frank's way, maybe you could say there, this is it for me. I better stop and listen and be Yotze according to Rashi because what choice do I have? So anyway, so that's again a lot more to say, a lot more analysis to be done. But that's an overview of this shaila of making Abdullah, the Yotzei Abdullah in the middle of Shemana Esrei.